Some nights don't go quiet. Some nights fight back. This is one of those nights. This episode doesn't come wrapped in a lesson, but it comes with truth. It's for anyone who's ever stood at the edge of giving up, not because they wanted to die, but because they couldn't figure out how to keep living. My name is Ron Eastman, and this is I Drink My Coffee Black and My Whiskey Neat. Let me tell you about a night I almost quit. It wasn't loud. There wasn't a scene, just silence. The kind that creeps in and sits on your chest as if it belongs there. That night, I didn't pull out a journal. I didn't want to call anyone. I didn't even want to cry. I just poured cheap whiskey into a cup and sat with it. And maybe that sounds small, but it saved something. Because sometimes, you need a little time to admit, I'm tired, I'm drowning, I'm still here. So tonight's not for motivation. It's not for silver linings. It's for the ones who stayed, even when they didn't know why. If that's you, pour something honest. Sit with it for a minute. Let the silence say what you can't. Let it talk you off the edge. That's what I did. Because the truth is, I wasn't thinking about anything specific, and that's what scared me. I wasn't sad. I wasn't angry. I wasn't panicked. I was just done. That's what people don't always understand. It's not always drama. It's not always a note. Sometimes it's just a quiet decision to stop caring, to stop trying, to not care if anyone called, to stop fighting for something that always feels like it's slipping away, to stop trying to hold together something that's never even been whole. And when that kind of weariness sits in, you don't always hear a warning. You just start to let go. But something held me, not hope, not fear, a memory of a boy, 9 years old. The version of me who lived through something I still don't have words for. The one who was hurt, violated, erased, and now watching his adult self going through the same. What does he think when he sees me now? Not speaking, not sleeping, barely holding on. Is he wondering why he fought so hard to survive? If this is what survival looks like? The one who walked out of a horrible situation alone and stayed alive? And it hit me. How could I let go now? After everything he's went through to survive. He didn't have tools. He didn't have therapy. He didn't have language or support or resources. He lived in nightmares, in silence, in shame, in a body that didn't even know how to carry what he had been given. And he still made it. I'm a grown man now, with tools he never had, training, rank, experience. And I just survived a war. But somehow, I felt weaker than the kid who survived that day. How could I be weaker than he was? That question gutted me. And maybe that's what saved me. Because suddenly, I wasn't alone in that room. I think about it like this sometimes, like being lost at sea for days. You use every breath, every ounce of fight, just to make it to shore. And when you finally do, it's not celebration, it's collapse. Because you didn't land in safety, you landed on a small deserted island, a place where no one else sees. No rescue, no relief, just you, and all the broken pieces you brought with you. And the thought of swimming again, the thought of going back out into that ocean feels impossible. That's what it felt like. I had survived 10 months pretending nothing happened. I made it through war, whole on the outside, but I was so spent inside. I couldn't imagine waking up one more day, couldn't imagine drawing one more breath, just to pretend again. And still, somehow I did. Somehow, I would have gotten back in that water again. Not because I was ready, but because something inside of me still refused to stop swimming. Maybe it was instinct, maybe it was memory, but in that moment, I wasn't alone. He was there, quiet, bruised, but still standing. I saw him. That little boy held underwater in a pool by a stranger, kissed without consent, holding his breath the best he could, wide eyes open to everything. But also the one who used to jump in and out of a chair, a towel tied like a cape, pretending he could fly, the one who didn't even know what trauma was, just that it hurt. And he was looking at me. No anger, no tears, just a kind of silence that says, "Really?" I don't remember what I did next. Maybe I stood up. Maybe I cried. Maybe I didn't move at all. I know I picked up a paper cup full of whiskey again, and I walked, slow. Not pacing, not thinking, just moving. The kind of numb movement where the body forgets it's attached to a life. I remember standing at the window, drink in hand, and staring into the kind of silence that feels permanent, like no sound will ever live here again. And for a moment, I wasn't in my room. I wasn't even in my body. I was standing at the edge of some grave I must have dug over the years, shovel by shovel, lie by lie. All the pretending I did just to function, just to not collapse in front of anyone. And the terrifying part is, it felt peaceful. Not because it was right, but because it felt like a release. Like letting go of something that had been screaming inside me for way too long. And in that silence, I saw a version of the future. Not the life I'm living now, but the one that whispered, "You don't have to keep doing this." And it didn't sound cruel. It sounded gentle, like rest, like mercy, like someone finally letting me off the hook. And that's what scared me the most, how much it made sense in that moment. Because we're not built to carry this much pain. We weren't bred to comprehend this kind of violence. And when it lives inside you, unanswered, the idea of silence starts to feel like salvation. So you start to believe that lie, not because you're weak, but because you're tired. I walked the length of that room 3 or 4 times, sometimes sipping, sometimes holding the cup too tight, sometimes whispering things I don't remember now, maybe prayers, maybe curses, and all the while, my mind was negotiating with the end. I wish I could say I pulled myself back with strength, but the truth is, I saw a flicker of the real future, a small, cracked image of life I hadn't lived yet, love, happiness, children, a version of me that wasn't broken. And I thought, if I go now, the voice that held space for others never gets heard. The hands that held someone shaking never get remembered. The truth I've carried quietly never gets spoken. The strength it took to survive it all never gets passed on. And someone out there might be listening right now, on the edge I once stood on. And maybe, just maybe, this moment is their flicker of a future too. That's what saved me. Not hope, not courage, just the tiniest glimpse of what might come after. It wasn't enough to heal me, but it was enough to keep me here. I made it through that night, not because I found some hidden strength, but because I remembered who already had it. See, this all didn't start the night I wanted to quit. It started nearly a year earlier. Back in June 1990, 3 men assaulted me while I was serving in the United States Army. It was violent. It was devastating. And it left me carrying a silence I wasn't ready for. I hadn't even served 2 years yet, but that moment changed everything. And in August 1990, just 2 months later, I deployed to the Gulf War. No time to process, no room to fall apart. I was a soldier at war, surrounded by soldiers every day. I had to look unshaken, like I belonged, like everything was fine, like my insides weren't on fire. So I performed, laughed, ate, fought, prepared for battle on outside while dying in one inside. The hardest part was pretending I was comfortable in a world of men, when in reality, I was tense every minute I was left alone with one or two. Every conversation, every wartime shower, every formation, I constantly looked over my shoulder, half expecting the attackers to reappear, because I believed they were fellow soldiers, maybe even in our own division. And yet, I kept showing up, day after day, missions, drills, camaraderie. I played the role so well, I even started to forget what was underneath. But it was there, grinding me down. By the time we returned home, I had nothing left to hide behind. Let me go back for a second. After the war ended, our unit landed back in the U.S., and buses took us from the airfield to our base. When we arrived, we got off those buses and walked onto a parade field. And there, waiting for us, were families, wives, children, parents, waving flags, holding signs, cheering us on. It was like a small parade, a celebration. But not for me. No sign, no arms waiting to wrap around me. Because what no one knew was at the one end of that same parade field, near the running track, that's where the assault happened. The same ground we were being celebrated on had taken everything from me. And the loudest applause I'd ever heard was happening feet from the place that took my voice. Everyone was celebrating. But all I felt was that night. I was surrounded by joy and drowning in memory. Everyone around me was talking about drinking that night. It was the one thing we swore we'd do once we returned home. Sergeant saying they'd have a drink on the patio, celebrating life. So I figured I'd join them. I was 21 now. So I bought a bottle of cheap whiskey. I didn't know what it would do. I just needed something to turn my mind off, to give it a break, a moment of peace. I thought the alcohol would silence the noise. Instead, it gave my thoughts a microphone. It tasted like burnt wood dipped in gasoline. Bitter, nasty, but I didn't care. I was determined to drink it if it took me all night to sip it, because for the first time in months, I wasn't pretending. I was just sitting with myself, and somehow, that horrible tasting whiskey made me feel mature, like I had crossed some kind of line. It didn't numb me, it focused me. And that night, the night I almost quit, I remember that cup of whiskey. And because I could only sip it slow, it gave me time to think, to reflect, to not react, but stay present. And I realized something else. Sometimes, it's not the one big event that takes you down. It's the quiet accumulation of pain, layer on top of layer, weight on top of weight, until you finally collapse. And unless you've been there, you don't know how loud silence can be. But that boy, the one who flew around in that cape, he held on long enough to become me. And I owe it to him, the boy in the cape, to take the reins from here, to become the man we haven't met yet, to stay, not out of guilt, but out of honor. To show him we didn't survive for nothing, to prove that his strength wasn't wasted. Some pain doesn't end, it just gets quieter. But it teaches you. It teaches you how to breathe through the next wave. It teaches you what you won't let define you. It teaches you how to build a voice out of silence. This podcast isn't about answers. It's about the wait. The days, the nights, the cracks we don't show. The younger version of ourselves and all of us that survived something and never gave up, even when we wanted to. Maybe the lesson is this. Don't perform wholeness. Don't pretend if it costs your peace. The world doesn't need another perfect act. It needs your truth. And someone, maybe even you, needs permission to be real. This is I Drink My Coffee Black and My Whiskey Neat, where we don't shout, we pour. And sometimes we pour what we almost didn't survive. Because some stories don't sit easy. Some truths don't end clean. This one goes deep. And if it pulls something raw out of you, just know, you're not the only one who's ever stood at the edge and looked over. I did too. And I'm glad I stayed. So if you're on the edge or find yourself there, talk to someone. You don't have to carry it all by yourself.